somebody willing to get up before dawn, milk cows, work all day in the fields, milk cows again, eat supper, then go to town and stay past midnight at a meeting of the school board. So God made a farmer.
My administration will be focused on three very important words. Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Policeman must be a minister, a social worker, a diplomat, a tough guy, and a gentleman. And of course he'll have to be a genius, because he'll have to feed a family on a policeman's salary.
From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. We, the citizens of America, are now joined in a great national effort to rebuild our country and restore its promise for all of our people. Because today, we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another, or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C., and giving it back to you, the people.
Hold on to your seats. Buckle up for safety. You are now entering another dimension with the Scott Adams Show.
And that's right. My name is Scott Adams. You're listening to the Scott Adams Show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And wow, we have a lot of interesting stories to talk to you about today. And one of which is a huge bombshell, literally a bombshell, of the CIA spying on Donald Trump. And it's just mind-blowing news that just broke. So the CIA doesn't work for the president. We've known that for sure since Chuck Schumer affirmed it on MSNBC in 2016, when he said Trump was being dumb to criticize the intelligence agencies because they have 6 ways till Sunday to get back at him. So who does the CIA work for exactly? The answer is the billionaire oligarchs who actually run the country and the Western world. That's why it's such a joke when people say democracy is on the ballot. You take Larry Fink, who wants to depopulate. We got a clip. We got an audio clip from Larry Fink, BlackRock. And you know what he's advocating? Depopulation. Why? Because it will make it easier for corporations to migrate automation and artificial intelligence. I never thought about that until I heard this. I thought, oh, it's the climate people because too many people are farting. No, it's not even that. It's to make way for complete automation and to create a better world of utopian world for the ivory tower elite. So the answer is the billionaire oligarchs who actually run the country and the Western world. That's why it's such a joke when people talk about democracy. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a full-blown authoritarian oligarchy and a surveillance state. The Constitution and your rights were taken from you decades ago. Wow. All right. So we have this. We have the CIA. So check this out. Matt Gaetz got in on this. So Matt Gaetz writes this letter, pens this letter, May 1st, 2024. He pens this letter. I'm formally calling on the weaponization subcommittee to immediately launch an investigation into O'Keefe Media, James O'Keefe Group's bombshell report containing video evidence that American intelligence agencies withheld intelligence from President Donald Trump before and during his presidency and used Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA, used the FISA court's authorities to spy on President Trump. It's not like we didn't know this, right? So James O'Keefe posts this post. He says, exposing the CIA. So the agency's kind of like all together and said, we're not going to tell Trump, director of the CIA, would keep information from Trump, a project manager working in cyber operations for the CIA and NSA, contractor with top secret clearance. So this involves Mike Pompeo, a project manager working in cyber operations for the CIA and an NSA contractor with top secret clearance, working for Deloitte. Deloitte. Our building shares a building with Deloitte. Amjad Fassaei is caught on undercover cameras implicating the highest levels of the intelligence agencies, including the executive staff. Donald Trump's done business with Deloitte. The executive staff, we're talking about the director and his subordinates, former CIA directors Gina Haspel, and I believe Mike Pompeo did the same thing too, is what he's saying. Keep information from Trump because he knew he'd disclose it. Now, there might be a curse word in here too because I'm reading the transcript, but let's take a listen. Let's see. We'll listen to a portion of this. This is just incredible, earth-shattering, groundbreaking stuff. Let's take a listen.
Network in the intelligence community. I work in the CIA. I do cyber operations. I've been doing it for a long time.
So how long have you been working at the CIA?
Since 2008.
Okay.
I've also worked at NSA, too. And then I have a TSSCI with a full-scope polygraph. That means that I'm fully vetted.
Amjad Fassaei shows her his CIA identification badge.
No, where does it say?
Doesn't.
Hey, that's the point.
That's the point.
What's CMC?
China Mission Center, darling. That's my mission center.
Gotcha.
Amjad talks about how the CIA kept information from Trump.
Like working.
We kept information from him.
Say one more time.
We kept information from him.
From Trump?
Yes. He's an idiot. There are certain people that would give him a high level overview, but never give him an idiot. Do you know why?
Amjad Fassaei states higher-ups within the intel community, including CIA directors Mike Pompeo and Gina Haspel, and the upper levels of their staffs colluded to withhold information from sitting President Trump.
So the agencies kind of like all got together and said, we're not going to tell Trump.
The higher-ups.
The higher-ups.
You put it this way, the executive staff, we're talking about the director and his subordinates.
Like what titles are they?
Director of the CIA.
Director of the CIA would keep...
Yes.
Are you guys still watching him?
I would say yes.
It sounds like you guys are still watching him and his team.
Of course we are. Nothing goes by without somebody watching.
Amjad Fassaei also states as fact that Trump is under constant surveillance and even claims they are spying on his ex-wife.
And we also have people that monitor his ex-wife.
So you guys had human sources.
How do you think we get information?
Like wiretapping? How did you guys figure out that Trump was colluding with the Russians? Did you guys use...
human intelligence.
So the intel community was able to use FISA to spy on Trump and his team. And that's how we found out that he was colluding with the Russians. Was it the CIA or the NSA that spied on Trump?
So it should be all of them.
So you're saying that we... Your agency, CIA.
A lot of the agencies. He's not going to get it. I'll be elected again. I've done the math. It's impossible. We have a choice here. Do we want our democracy or do we want some fucking madman?
Yeah.
Must be a dictator.
Does it say the CIA on your LinkedIn?
Fuck no. We can't do that. And then I worked at NSA for a year.
Okay.
And I was doing some really cool cyber stuff, which I cannot tell you about. To the Office of Director of National Intelligence. So I helped them stand their insider threat program. that trusted me to set that up.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody.
I don't have anyone to tell.
Yeah, yeah. This conversation didn't happen.
Of course.
I get strictly denied.
Yeah.
Inside the CIA. So O'Keefe Media, this is a 27-minute expose where they got this guy undercover. And he is working with the CIA and the NSA in cyber crimes. And, I mean, in cyber, they're committing the crimes. They're the criminals. Like I say, these guys are the biggest pieces of crap you could ever imagine at the CIA and at the NSA and at the FBI. These people are inside the Beltway, Looney Tune left-wing nut jobs that should never be trusted and should be defunded. We're building their buildings and building them their apparatus. Patriot Act, my butt. They don't deserve a thing. They need to be shut down. They're ruined. They're a force against the American people. And I have more to share with you today. So here is O'Keefe talking with the CIA, asking them about this guy.
Contractor does not represent CIA.
Got it. So he's a former contractor.
So they're saying he's a former contractor, the guy you just heard, right? Former contractor, not working with the CIA. Now James O'Keefe is going to ask, when did you fire him? Was it the last 48 hours? We can't tell you that.
Was he terminated? Was it after we gave the quotes to you and Deloitte?
Off the record.
We would like to know, has this individual been terminated in the last 48 hours as a result of what we've uncovered?
The only on the record that I have for you right now is the statement that I've provided.
Okay.
It can be attributed to a CIA spokesperson.
Okay. Obviously, the individual being terminated as a result of these findings would be newsworthy. Can you get back to us on that?
The only thing that I am comfortable saying on the record is what we've provided.
Okay.
The CIA is getting exposed for exactly who they've always been. Scumbags. Absolute scumbags. Absolute. They killed presidents. They have unbridled power. Who answers? Who does the CIA answer to? It's the warmongering military-industrial complex oligarchs that profit from war, that profit from rigging elections, that profit from overthrowing governments, that profit from this stuff. Wow. So this is pretty amazing stuff right here. That is a bombshell, folks. So the CIA had foreign allies spy on Trump team triggering Russia collusion hoax. So Michael Schellenberger, one of the renowned Twitter file reporters, says multiple credible sources told us that the CIA asked foreign allies to spy on 26 Trump associates. This was not put out in response to James O'Keefe's bombshell. This was something else. We're going to go ahead and take a caller here in a second. Caller, you're on the air?
Real quick. I just want to confirm what you're saying and what they're saying. I was... knew a fraternity brother in 1980. He went to work for the CIA, and I saw and I watched firsthand what this guy did and what they did and how corrupt they were then. He eventually turned conscious, and he couldn't take it anymore. He got out. He eventually, he said to me one time, if I ever end up before my time, you know who it was. He told me this years later, after he got out. He died at a very early age, a drug overdose, 57 years old. And I'm telling you, the stuff that he told me and how they operate is exactly what's being exposed right now. And I'm so glad this finally came out. I knew this in the 1980s. I knew this deep state. These people will kill. They still have a license to kill. And they'll still have a license to kill today. And
well, the you know, it's
dangerous
just, it's
in, operation.
Interesting. Boeing. There's another Boeing whistleblower on Boeing that was in the with someone that ran every day that was super healthy, and they're dead. They died suddenly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's
like
happening.
I say, they still today have a license to kill, and the CIA is the most dangerous, most should be the most feared operation in the world. They are not.
Well, at this point,
they
should be defunded.
They are for themselves.
It's just like Trump's policy with Iran. It's like, cut them off at the knees, cut their money, freeze their accounts, sanction them. And, you know, as soon as Biden reversed the sanctions and released released frozen assets, you started to see these this turmoil in the Middle East. You know, the best thing you could do is just basically starve them to death with money, right? Bring them to their knees financially, and they won't have power, because money and power go hand in hand.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. And what a good thing now is they're finally getting exposed like they should. This latest one is so significant because it actually exposes them firsthand. They caught them red-handed, and they're getting more exposed and more exposed. And that's the way, that's the start. And like you say, you're absolutely right. Defund them. Take their money away. Take their power away. Because
yeah.
Money is power. Power is money.
But instead, we're building a new building for the FBI. And I also think that we need to decentralize, because these little soy boy libtards that work at the CIA and the FBI are little groupthink people no different than these little Ivy League whippersnappers at these universities that are causing all this turmoil, rooting and cheering for Hamas terrorism. You know, that's the problem, is that these universities are way too funded, and they're beholden to not only government funds, which are run by libtards, but also foreign dollars run, you know, and one of the biggest financiers of universities is Qatar. Qatar is the main country for Hamas, housing, you know, Hamas. So, or harboring
another
Hamas.
Thing. Another thing real quick. Here's another thing they do, and you'll sort of notice this. They use the LGBT community, FCYX community, a lot because they can control them so much, and they know they're big-time liberals, and they can control
them. Well, because these people
so
are pleading for acceptance.
Pedophiles.
Yeah, pedophiles, holy grail. A pedophile's holy grail is to be accepted for who they are. And who's going to do that? Is it going to be you? Are you going to give license to a pedophile? Am I?
Yeah.
Is a conservative?
No. And
is Ronald Reagan? Is Donald Trump? No. The answer to the question is nobody in their right mind ever would. But that's why the liberals see an opportunity in that to buy an influence, just like Biden is going to import refugees that Egypt doesn't want out of the Gaza Strip. And he's going to, by hook or by crook, try to issue a student loan forgiveness, even though the Supreme Court, and Donald Trump was in, I think it was Wisconsin yesterday, gave a speech and was talking about how it's simply buying votes. That's all it is. That's all Biden wants to do out of this whole thing, is try to shine a spotlight on what he's doing to buy votes for the youth vote. But that also is going to backfire on the Bidens.
Right. And real quick, too, another thing. I don't know if you saw Marsha Blackburn, Senator Marsha Blackburn. Yesterday she was speaking And she said that the trafficking, the child trafficking industry, has gone from a $500 million industry to a $1.5 billion industry now. This was just yesterday. It hasn't gone down. It has gone up.
Yeah, so the money we're spending to try to secure the border and all this, that, and the other is having the opposite effect. It's sort of like civil rights legislation. We've spent $6 to $12 trillion, depending on the estimates, on civil rights, affirmative action, HUD, affordable housing, supplemental, whatever, right? And fast forward from like 1967 to all the way up until now. And now you look at the black communities, single parent homes are, below 20%. And back when they started, single parent homes were, single parent homes were very small back in the 60s. It's like 70% now, single parent homes. What I meant to talk about, is broken families has skyrocketed under civil rights legislation because it rewarded single parent homes.
The family has been decreasing since 1968. And one real quick plug, and this is why that I'm going to a rally in Boston, the communist heart of America, close the border down rally Saturday at 10 a.m. in Boston on the state capitol. Closetheborderrally.com. I hope people go to it. This is why we have to, when the people say, what can I do? Go to this rally. Stand up. Start taking action. We are at the very crucial point. This country is on the edge of the cliff, and it's about ready to fall over. And only we can stop it, we the people.
All right.
So
hey, thanks.
Keep the good fight up going. Thank you.
Okay. Take care. All right. Well, so we're gonna go ahead and get back on track with the CIA had foreign allies spy on Trump. Okay, this is according to Michael Schellenberger, who wrote this piece February 13th, 2024. So the stuff that you just heard in the opening of the show, the breaking news from James O'Keefe and the CIA getting busted for everything that they've been doing, well, that was May 1st. That's May 1st. And this was a couple of months ago. He writes, multiple credible sources told us that the CIA asked foreign allies to spy on 26 Trump associates. Five Eyes, remember we were talking about that? So credible sources say the U.S. government is hiding a binder of documents because they incriminate the intelligence community for illegal spying. Yeah, and let's not forget about all the stuff that was done in the 60s and 70s and with the Bushes and everything else in between. So the U.S. government's hiding documents. Gina Haspel, that's another. Christopher Wray. I mean, these are bad hires that Trump was involved with. And you wonder why he did that. Sources say the CIA cooked the intelligence to hide that Vladimir Putin wanted Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, as president. The U.S. government said in January 2017 that Russia favored Trump as a president, but now sources reveal for the first time that the CIA cooked the intelligence to hide that Vladimir Putin wanted Hillary Clinton, not Donald Trump, as president. How do you like that? And I kind of suspected that, too, because they could eat Hillary Clinton's lunch because she was compromised. They had compromat on the Clintons, and they knew Clintons would sell out. Well, then you got the lawfare, right? Let's check this out. J.D. Vance just blasted CNN on this one. This was great.
It's pretty unusual for the number three person in the Department of Justice to then go to the New York prosecutor's office to bring a bogus case against Donald Trump, and then to have the judge presiding over that case to be a donor to Biden-Harris. I think that's pretty unusual, Caitlin, and really is, aside from your views or anyone else's views about Donald Trump, this is a real threat to Americans' trust in the legal system. If you look at polling, even a lot of folks who are going to vote for Joe Biden think that the lawfare against Donald Trump is bogus. We're destroying faith in the American system of law and order to try to bring down Joe Biden's political opponent. That's a threat to democracy. It's pretty
Wow. Yeah, that's explains it pretty well. All right, this is Kash Patel talking about they literally said it's illegal for government agents to possess illegally classified information. So what did they do? They set Trump up, and the Jack Smith and the DOJ had Trump's documents in their possession before they that said, take them down to Florida. So let's take a listen to Kash Patel.
But in the search warrant that was unredacted, that may be the most shocking piece of information, because I was named in that search warrant. Mm-hmm. And of course, the DOJ unredacted just my name, but everything else afterwards was redacted. So it made the media go nuts about, oh, my God, Kash Patel. And they finally unredacted the next paragraph, and it turned out to be details of a publicly printed Breitbart article, which was not classified or sensitive information at all. But it gets way, way worse. Julie Kelly's reporting on this is quite stunning. The Biden DOJ and the Biden Government Service Administration actually had boxes of Donald Trump's papers after Trump led the administration in their possession. And then they told Donald Trump's representatives at Mar-a-Lago to come pick up these boxes. Then Jack Smith charged Donald Trump with illegal possession of classified information from what was in those boxes. I mean, you literally can't make this stuff up. It's not even entrapment, because it's worse. They literally said it's okay for government agents to possess illegally classified information. So let's call the culprit we want to pin this to, Donald Trump. Let's have them pick up the documents, and in transport, we will magically make them illegal for Donald Trump to possess. This kind of information and this kind of shocking details of this prosecution is what's most disturbing to me. And, you know, I've always asked this, and I continue to do so. Why hasn't Congress? You want accountability? The only lever we have is a Republican majority in the House. Where are your subpoenas? Like, none of this has been responded to by the Republican majority in Congress.
Pretty sad, isn't it? We should be fighting harder. So this is what the federal government gave these colleges last year. Columbia University got $1.2 billion for federal funding for Ivy League schools in fiscal year 23. These are from the university financial reports, as reported by Fox Business. Yale University got $777 million. Cornell got $736 million, and Harvard got $676 million. That's not counting what they get from China and from Qatar and from the Middle East and from all over the place, from foreign aid. That's not counting that. So the reporter says, is Biden aware of the reports that a fair number of people arrested on college campuses are not students?
You said the president is monitoring the situation. Is he aware of the reports that a fair number of the people arrested on several campuses are not students?
Look, that is something for obviously local government to speak to, local government, pardon me, local local police and law enforcement to speak to, and what they're seeing and what they're reporting. That is something that I can't speak to at this time. I've heard that reporting, but that is something for them to speak to at this time.
But he's not aware of that.
Well, he's getting regularly updated on the situation and what and monitoring. So I assume that he's getting, that's part of his update, but he is getting regularly updated on what's happening across the country and campuses.
So this is she also answers Peter Ducey in that same session, and she's basically given a campaign speech about what Trump, what Biden has done for these college kids, right? Well, that's because everywhere he would go, these Hamas sympathizers, these terrorist sympathizers, would they were so radically left that Biden wasn't doing enough for Hamas. So now they're coming out and they're basically saying, we're going to take Hamas refugees from Gaza, even though Egypt doesn't want them, we're going to take them. And they're going to, we're going to put them into your neck of the woods, and you have to live with them. And then also, student loan forgiveness. He's talking about that to give people some breathing room. Meanwhile, you know, Joe the plumber is going to have to pay out the nose for this stuff. You're going to have to pay for their education. And Trump addressed that, said it's buying votes. It's vote buying. It's crazy. And when you think about that, there are liberals. What you see on campus is not the majority of college students. The majority of college students across the country that see this don't want to be associated with them. And so what you have these instigators, these operatives that are paid tools. They're paid for by, you know, there's this woman and I'm going to get you her name, but they are right here. This woman, Lisa Fithian. Look her up. Fithian, Fithian. She is a professional activist who charges $300 per day to organize protests. For a fee, she teaches workshops on protesting. She is one of thousands in an activism industry, siphoning money into their pockets. The cause is irrelevant, just whether someone can pay. And she's this older bag of a lady. That's the anti-Trump activist with a severe case of Trump derangement syndrome. She was in the Capitol building. She was, she's been all over the place. Professor Occupy, allegedly seen at Columbia pro-Palestine events. She's got signs that say arrest Trump. She stands outside of the courtrooms that Trump goes to. She's paid to do it. She's such a whack job, an anti-American hater, a treasonous scumbag. And there's just one video after another of her. It's absolutely insane. And there's a lot of college students that were probably even liberal that actually understand what's going on in the Middle East, that hating all Jews in Israel is akin to Hitler and doesn't make sense, that they remember what happened on October 7th in an unprovoked attack. They also understand that if Trump was in office, that there wouldn't be any wars as there wasn't when he was in office, and that people are eating Biden's lunch. They see Biden walking like a robot. And they also understand that this student loan forgiveness is unfair. Most liberal students understand that they went into college knowing that there was going to be a price to pay. They also understand that there's a European system that you don't have to pay for college. And that's fine, but they also know that they entered a contract where for now our system is we pay for our university stay and our food and stuff like that. So this redistribution, so there are liberal students that are starting to get the memo that Biden is in violation of the SCOTUS order, that student loan forgiveness is not constitutional, and that they understand that they have a price to pay for the education that they're getting. And they also understand that these people that are protesting are being used as tools by Fithian. You know, the woman I just spoke about. And that they're just being used. And that they don't know the policy. If you ask these people, they were on video. Ask the people, what are they protesting about? They're like, what are we protesting about again? I mean, there's video literally going around that said that. It was embarrassing. So the college campus protesters exposed by nonprofits' money trail. Some of the people protesting on American college campuses are making $7,800 per 8 hours of protesting. Money funneled from George Soros and directly from the Rockefeller family. Let's take a listen to this. This is going to blow your mind.
I have to say, these tent cities that they're building across college campuses are crazy, but are really well organized. And you know I had to look into this to understand who's behind all of this and who's paying all these people. I have to be honest, what I found was not really shocking, but I was surprised by how similar it is to the BLM summer riots of 2020. You see, these encampments are actually really well organized. The students receive the tents from organizers that also supply a bunch of different food like pizzas, rotisserie chicken, coffee. So I looked into who these organizers actually are, and there are three prominent groups. Students for Justice in Palestine, there's Within Our Lifetime, and then there's Jewish Voices for Peace. And these groups are actually led and organized by another organization called U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights. And just guess how much these fellows are paid. They get $7,800 if they work 8 hours a week on some kind of Palestinian campaign. Makes you rethink what the hell you're doing with your life. And across these campuses, we've seen these fellows speak out at various events. Nita Laffey, Craig Morton, Malik Afina. So where the hell does USCPR even get this money to pay these fellows that much money? And who funds Students for Justice in Palestine and these other organizations? Here's where it really gets interesting. Almost all of their funding comes from rich, elite investors such as George Soros, Howard Horowitz, and members of the Rockefeller family. And isn't that ironic on its own? You see, George Soros' Open Society Foundation, along with Rockefeller's Brother Fund, gave $700,000 to these organizations. And we know now that the Open Society Foundation isn't run by George Soros anymore. It's actually run by his brother, Alex Soros, and his partners, Huma Abedin, with direct ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. As they say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Now, the Open Society Foundation also funneled $20 million into the Tide Foundation. And the Tide Foundation takes this money and disperses it across all of these organizations across the U.S. They funnel money into Westpac, which is an organization that is led by Howard Horowitz. And Westpac is actually the fiscal sponsor for Within Our Lifetime. And guess what? All of these organizations have direct ties to the 2020 Summer Love riots. So the question I have to ask is why? Why now? Why again in the summer before a presidential election?
Well, yep, it's the same funders as Black Lives Matter, right on cue, perfect timing, right, in an election year. It's all part of the Democrat machine. And your Democrat friends and family that vote for this crap should be ashamed of themselves. Mine too. Mine too. But what I'm saying is that you need to try to wake up the people that you have some level of influence over. And that's how we get it done. Be a patriot. Spread the word. Spread the word. Spread the truth. Inform these liberals that you know and love that aren't informed. Inform them. Give them the information the best way you know how to give it to them, because most ignorant liberals don't even want to be informed for whatever reason. It just doesn't make sense to me. DOJ's Kristen Clark not only peddled the Jussie Smollett hoax, but she excoriated Chicago police for daring to ask for his cell phone. So she's black, and she's, you know, she's basically another operative. And that's all they do, these operatives. Top Biden staffer Rob Flaherty admits his taxpayer-funded office encourages social media companies to censor speech with which the Biden administration disagreed.
Social media companies make editorial decisions at the scale of hundreds of millions per second. They decide what content gets shown to whom and in what order. My office encouraged those companies to exercise that editorial discretion to avoid spreading inaccurate information particularly related to the ongoing pandemic.
That's his opening statement yesterday on the committee. Inaccurate statements. So false information. One man's false information is another man's truth. Harriet Hageman from Wyoming, she replaced Liz Cheney, just did a beat down on this guy who drops the F-bomb every time he sends out a letter like he's some Mr. Tough guy. He's a little overeducated, latte-drinking soy boy that works inside the Beltway in Washington for the Biden administration and thinks he's tough because he could ruin people's lives. I'd like to get him in a debate. You thought I was going to say something different, right? All right.
The fact is that we know that a lot of the information that was being peddled by this White House was untrue. We know that the CDC lied. We know that Anthony Fauci lied. We know that Mr. Biden lied. And you were pushing propaganda.
Would the gentleman yield for a question?
No, I will not.
I'd love to know the source of your citation.
This is my time. I think it's fair to say that the position of President Biden was to get as many Americans to take the COVID vaccine as possible. Is that also true?
I would agree with that characterization.
And yes or no, was your routine dialogue with social media companies part of a strategy to achieve this goal of the president?
Congressman, we engage with these social media
companies. Please answer the question, yes or no.
They had stated
Was that the purpose of engaging with the social media companies, yes or no?
Congressman, the engagement with social media companies...
The goal of getting people vaccinated, correct?
In the context of the president's efforts.
Yes, to encourage the American people to take the vaccine. Was that a strategy that you and Mr. Slavitt came up with, or were you working with other people within the White House?
Congressman, certainly the... effort to make sure as many people in America were vaccinated should not be.
My question is, who came up with the strategy to work with social media companies to further that agenda? You realize you're under oath, don't you, Mr. Flaherty?
Congressman,
Do you realize you're under oath?
Congressman.
You realize that you've sworn to tell the truth? Why did you think that reaching out to these social media companies was a productive use of your time if you never had any influence with them?
Well, Congresswoman, certainly these social media companies had a set of policies that they stated.
Why did you care whether they enforced their policies? What difference did that make to you? Are you part of the contract? Is it your responsibility to enforce policies of private companies?
Congresswoman, I think it's important to remember the fact that this is, you know, these kinds of engagements with people who publish information are standard across government.
You can try to gaslight us as much as you want to and try to act like your activities didn't have any influence. But one of the things I noticed, Mr. Flaherty, is that you use the F word an awful lot in your email correspondence with the social media companies for emphasis. We all know why you...
Hey, what would you rather have? Would you rather have Liz Cheney or Harriet Hageman? Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Yep.
Yeah, I actually have a place up in Wyoming, and that was the best thing they ever did was to get rid of Liz Cheney.
Yeah.
That woman is so corrupt.
We gotta speed it up today because we're really short on time.
Yeah, I'm just calling in. That vaccine, I'm telling you, I have a good friend of mine, and I won't say his name, he's a doctor. They forced him to take that vaccine, and he was healthy. He's a healthy guy, I should say. He just had a seizure the other day. Never had a seizure in his life. Mm. So this is only the tip of the iceberg. I probably know a dozen people that are dead already, or I knew a dozen people that have passed away, and I probably know about a half a dozen people that are completely altered their lives. So, these people need to be drugged by their ankles out to the streets.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen. Going to courts and watching all these Senate hearings and all that. Yep. I'm so sick and tired of wasting my money like this. These people need to be incarcerated and shackled for what they did to this country.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, thanks for calling in today. All right. Let's take a listen to this. African mayor of Derry, Ireland, says Irish patriots are terrorists and she must take action now simply because they peacefully reject illegal immigration and because their communities have been overrun by uncivilized terrorists like herself. Let's take a listen.
Everyone is living on edge right now, and we need to do something about it. We cannot continue ignoring that this is a small minority of far-right movement. It is an organized terrorist group of people who want to harm immigrants in this country, and we have to take action now. We can't keep on calling them a small, dangerous group of people, because it is an organized group of people who are radicalizing young people and encouraging them to go and harm others who are just living peacefully, who wants to live a peaceful life in this country.
So it sounds a little like Ilhan Omar and Joe Biden combined, right? They hate the white civilized country that they migrated to. They have no gratitude whatsoever. They somehow find their way into power like Ilhan Omar or Joe Biden, and then they just want to trash it, and they want to ruin it with all these social experiments like multiculturalism. And it's financed by people like BlackRock. CEO explains how the real goal of depopulation, COVID, now listen up, people, listen to this. This is going to be a twisted spin on this that you've never heard before. But BlackRock CEO explains how the real goal of depopulation, like I said in the beginning, I thought it was more surrounded by a lot of other things like climate and things like that, and food supplies and consumption of energy and consumption of food. And, you know, and what that does to the environment. That's what I thought. That was where my head was when trying to understand what the globalist agenda is. But you also have to understand, why is it that BlackRock and Vanguard have invested in these companies and they're pushing DEI and ESG? They're pushing DEI to mandate that you hire, you stop reproducing babies, you get rid of your God and replace it with government, and what, by hook or by crook, by carrot or by stick. But then you also bring all these people that live in a sand hut that can't grow food because they live in a pile of sand, like Sam Kinison joked about once upon a time, and migrate them into opportunity zones, like Tim Scott and Donald Trump were talking about. But these opportunity zones are moving people out of sand huts in Africa into first world countries and putting them to work as slaves. Didn't we migrate slaves from Africa like a couple hundred years ago? Well, we're doing it again through the help of a guy like Larry Fink, BlackRock, who believes that take the world's don't reproduce, shrink the world's population through vaccines and that impact negatively your reproductive abilities, and engage in senseless wars that kill people off, start pandemics, leak viruses like bioweapons. By the way, Peter Daszak. Was on the witness stand recently and admitted to a whole bunch of stuff. But here's Larry Fink. Larry Fink wants a lesser population, not for the climate, not for the consumption, not because he has to share the world with other people. No. He wants it because he can make companies more profitable by engaging and implementing AI, artificial intelligence, and robotic automation that make, as according to Harari, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab's chief advisor, useless people, bottom feeders, people, consumers, and that what we should do is just deteriorate their mind through TikTok and senseless games. Remember Harari said that the people are bottom feeders, useless idiots? that could be easily replaced. The world would be better with a robot or an artificial intelligence guiding the way. This is Larry Fink, the most powerful man in the world, the oligarchs behind it all.
I could argue in the developed countries, the big winners are countries that have shrinking populations. Okay, that's something that most people never talked about. You know, we always used to think shrinking population is a cause for negative growth. But in my conversations with the leadership of these large developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies, they don't allow anybody to come in.
So right there, shrinking. Xenophobic immigration policies is basically policies with legal migration and closed borders, secure borders. He's talking about Trump as xenophobe, right? That's number one.
Developed countries that have xenophobic immigration policies. They don't allow anybody to come in. Shrinking demographics. These countries will rapidly develop robotics and AI and technology. And if the promise, I didn't say it's going to happen, but if the promise of all that transforms productivity, which most of us think it will, we'll be able to elevate the standard of living of countries and the standard of living of individuals, even with shrinking populations. And so the paradigm of negative population growth is going to be changing. And the social problems that one will have in substituting humans for machines is going to be far easier in those countries that have declining populations. And so for those countries that have rising populations, the answer will be education, and so rapidly developing. You know, for those countries that do not have a foundation of rule of law or education, they're going to be left. That's where the divide's going to get more and more extreme.
It's absolutely crazy. He sounds a little bit more like, and that he was saying that at the World Economic Forum. And, you know, it's just absolutely absurd. It sounds more like this.
A massive class of useless people. As computers become better and better in more and more fields, there is a distinct possibility that computers will outperform us in most tasks and will make humans redundant. And then the big political and economic question of the 21st century will be, what do we need humans for? Or at least, what do we need so many humans for?
Do you have an answer in the book?
At present, the best guess we have is keep them happy with drugs and computer games. We see that.
This is what they think of you, folks. Okay? This is no joke. This is the World Economic Forum's chief strategist and the chief financier, Larry Fink from BlackRock. And they own everything, they own it all. Well, we're running out of time. I wanted to bring this up. This is the Fed issued zero rate hikes or declines, and pretty much inflation is stickier than all get out. Let's take a listen to this, though.
You've developed what you're calling the strategic common man CPI of items that people must buy. It includes food, energy, shelter, clothing, utilities, and insurance. And this chart shows that American standard of living has deteriorated by 8% since President Biden was inaugurated. Tell us more about
that. Yeah, so yeah, as you know, the Bureau of Labor Statistics publishes CPI, and they publish something called core CPI, which excludes food and energy, which, of course, for the average person is ironic because food and energy is pretty, eating and staying warm is pretty core.
These are the essentials.
Right, so what we did is we went the other way, and we said, what are all the things that people must buy? Become hell or high water. So it's food, energy, clothing, shelter, utilities, insurance, as we pointed out. That has grown at a rate 8% faster over the last 3 years than wages. And this is part of the reason why I think the Biden administration sometimes wonders. They say, gee, why aren't we getting more credit on the economy? The unemployment rates are relatively low. The stock market is quite high. This is why people are feeling poorer. They have become poorer. And it's the cumulative effect of inflation that people are responding to.
Why do you think that is? I mean, 11 rate hikes.
Okay, so why that is because of the senseless spending by government. That's what he goes on to say. Well, that brings us to the end of the Scott Adams Show. Be sure to check out MAGAPAC, MAGAPAC.org. Make a donation if you can. To help keep the Scott Adams Show commercial free, use Red State as your promo code over at MyPillow.com. And we'll see you next time on the radio. Bye-bye, everybody.